Here on the bottom of Daf Beis Amid Beis, we've presented the view of Rav Papa that amongst the Avos Nizikin, there is a concept of Tol Doseim Lav Kayotze Behen, where the Tol is not similar to the Av. And the Gemara rules out Keren because the Tol Dos of Keren are exactly like Keren. They have the elements, the common denominator of being Kavanasa Lahazik, Mamoncha Shmirasa Olecha, and therefore Tol Doseim Kayotze Behen. The Gemara now continues and investigates the possibility that with regard to the Tol Dos of Shein Veregel, Rav Papa would say Tol Doseim Lav Kayotze Behen. So first the Gemara wants to know Shein Veregel Hechik Sivi. Let's set up the definition of the Av of Shein, the Av of Regel. And in order to do so, we have to find in the Torah these Nezikin. Because in order to establish something as an Av, you've got to find it in the Torah. Desanya. This Brisa is predicated on a Pasuk, interpreting a Pasuk in Mishpatim, in Perchav Beis of Shmos, Ki Yav'er Ish Sadeh O Kerem V'shilachas Bi'iro Uvir B'stei Acher Meitav Sadehu U'meitav Karbo Yishale. And the Brisa says the following, V'shilach Zeh HaRegel. The word V'shilach is a reference to Regel. And how do we know this? V'cheinu Omer from a pasuk in Yeshaya, Mishalchei Regel Hashar V'chamor. This is a statement of the Navi in which he praises Klal Yisrael for their tzidkus, their tremendous acts of righteousness. And based on Targum Yonasan, Rashi interprets Ashrechem Yisrael, that you have sown the seeds through your acts of tzidkus, as if you've placed them in water, and as a result of your great acts, they will grow, they will develop, and Hashem is promising that the people of Israel would receive the proper reward for their acts of tzedek. And the pasuk says, Mishalchei Regel Hashar V'chamor, that as these fruits and grains will grow, you, the people of Israel, will go out to the fields, you'll harvest the fields, gather in the tvua, and it's going to be Tishlechu as Regel Hashar. You will send out the leg, so to speak, of the ox. Ladush es ha-tvua. Disha means when you have animals stomp on the grains, because the grains are covered by chaff. And that's how, through that process, you remove the chaff. And the chamor here is going to function as a beast of burden to carry all these grains back into your homes or to the marketplace. This is symbolic of the schar that's going to be received by Klal Yisrael. So the word v'shilach is a reference to regel, as in the pasuk Mishalchei Regel Hashar V'chamor. And then the pasuk says, Ubir b'steyacher. Ubir, says the Brisa, zohashen. That's a reference to the eating of the animal, the chenu omer. And I will show you the connection between ubir and shein. In a pasuk in Tanakh, in Malachim Aleph, Perek Yudalet, it says, kasher yevayer ha-golo ad tumo. Rashi explains that Yevayer and Golol, the word Golol is a word referring to Shein, to the tooth. And why is that so? Because the teeth will sometimes be exposed when he opens his mouth or when he smiles. as opposed to other times when it's covered by his lips. And Rashi goes further and he says that the word golol might refer to the excrement of an animal. An animal eats and then it consumes and digests its food and it converts it into golol. It's all about the eating process. Rabbi Nachmanel says that there is another connotation to the word golol, even galal, which is even shayish, which is marble, and the tooth is made up of a substance that's somewhat similar to shayish, to marble. In any event, the word golol here in this pasuk means shame, and the word beer appears in this very pasuk, ubir agol ad tumo, and therefore the word ubir is a reference to Shane, kasher yavara hagolol ad tumo. The Gemara now explains this brisa. Omar mar, the brisa says v'shilach zo regel v'chenu omer mishalche regel ashor v'achamor. So the Gemara asks, is it so that the brisa would not understand the word v'shilach without the pasuk in Yeshaya mishalche regel? Taima. The kasa rachmona mishalchei regel ashor v'chamor habolav olav hachi b'may mukusle. What was the other possibility? The Torah here is presenting the parash of Nezikin. So if you had a havamina that maybe v'shilach is not referring to regel, what would it be referring to? E b'keren, if we take the possibility that Karen, that this Pasuk V'shilach is referring to Karen, Ksiv, we already have that. The Torah has already given me Negifa Negicha in this parsha. I don't need another repetition of Karen. V'i Shein, and here we're on the top of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. If this Pasuk is referring to Shein, Ksiv, we already have Shein, because the Torah says Ubir b'steyacher, and we've already proven that the word Ubir is a reference to Shein. So by process of elimination, it would seem that when he sends V'shilach Zabeira, it's got to be Regel. So why do you need, therefore, the Pasuk of Mishalchei Regel Itzrich? Salka daitachamina, I would have thought. Edi v'edi ashein. There are two psukim for shein, and we need both of them. One is for the classical case of shein, which is called ha demechalia karna. And then ha, we need another shein for lo mechalia kam, to lo mechalia karna. Now the word mechalia is just another form in Aramaic of the Hebrew word lichalot. Kilui means to completely consume, completely destroy something. And when the animal eats, there are two things that might happen. One thing is that it completely destroys the object, in this case the vegetable, whatever might be growing in the field. And the other is called Mechalia Karna. And we'll understand that a little better when we, in contrast to Lo Mechalia Karna, which means that the ground is going to again grow and replace that which was eaten. So if we only had one Pasuk for Shein, we would say, when is the owner of this animal responsible to compensate the other person because the owner's animal ate and consumed the vegetable? That's only in the case of Mechalia Karna. But if it's low Mechalia Karna and the ground is going to resupply and replace that which was taken, that's less of a serious damage. Kamash Malon, and that's why I need an additional pasuk for Shein. If we only had one, I would limit it to the lesser chiddush of Mechalia Karna. Now they have another one. It's coming to be Marba Lo Mechalia Karna. And that's the way Rashi understands this sugya. Tosfos, the Rav Maskil Ha, objects to Rashi's pshat because Tosfos wants to focus our attention on the actual vegetable or fruit that was consumed by the animal. And in both cases, the way Rashi has it, even in Lomachal Yikarna, the pre is completely consumed, and therefore there's a Machayev to pay back for the pre. Tosfos doesn't accept that the possibility that the ground down the line will reproduce and you'll have another fruit to replace the one that was eaten. That's irrelevant. As far as the Matzik is concerned, there was a pre that had a value to it and it's gone. And therefore, Tosfos suggests an entirely different pshat, and his pshat is that the animal didn't eat the fruit at all, but rather what happened was in Lo Machal Yikarna, the animal tinfa osam lehanasa, she put filth or soiled these fruits for her benefit. Let's say she rolled in the patch, you know, and cooled herself off, or whatever it might be. The Rashba is not happy with that because he assumes that Tinfa Peros Lanosa is not an Av of Shane, but rather a Tolda. And such a case of Tinfa Peros is not in the Torah, and therefore cannot qualify as an Av. Here, the whole sugya here is to try to define the Av. Now the Gemara asks the following question. Vahashta diokimna aregel. Now you're telling me that Vishilach is referring to regel, to establish regel as an Av Nezikin. Shane delomachal yikana minolan. You don't have now a second pasuk for Shane to teach you the chiddush of Lo Machal Yikarna. So where do we know it from? How do we know he's chayev even in Lo Machal Yikarna? According to Rashi's pshat, according to Tosfos' pshat, the Gemara answers Dumya de Regel. We're going to make an equation here between Shane and Regel, both of which are written in the same pasuk. Ma Regel Lo Shno Machal Yikarna Velo Shno Lo Machal Yikarna. The owner of the shor will pay damages for Regel, whether or not it's Machal Yikarna or not. And the explanation for that, as Rashi points out, is that with regard to Shane, the Torah used the term Ubir. And Ubir is some sort of complete, total consumption, a destruction of the object. But if it's Lo Machal Yikarna, that's not Ubir. But in Regel, where the Torah doesn't say Ubir, we logically should extend the compensation to Lo Machal Yikarna, because even in Lo Machal Yikarna, especially the way Rashi understands it, there's a loss of the fruit. And that's valuable. Is Af Shein Lo Machal Yikarna, Lo Shno Machal Yikarna, Lo Shno Lo Machal Yikarna, he's always going to be Chayav. If you take a look in the Chidush HaRashba, he says that the proof from Regel to be Mechayev, even in Lo Machal Yikarna, is because Stam Regel Eino Mechal HaSadovra Nizok. What is Regel? Regel means Drisa. Drisa means when it stomps upon it, and it ruins it, but the object itself is still in existence. There's no consumption of the object. Omar Mar, the Gemara says, the Braisa Ubir Zoa Shein V'cheinu Omer Kasher Yevara Gol Atumo. So again, the same kind of structure, a mirror image of what we had before. Taimo de Kosrach Bona Kasher Yevara Gol Atumo. Hol Blavachi is Bemayu Kimnale. What would we assume as another possible candidate to understand Ubir B'steyacher, other than Shane, that, you know, the Bala Braisa is compelled to bring a pasuk in Tanakh to prove that the word Ubir refers to Shane? What was the other candidate? What could Ubir mean? E Karen Ksiv. If it's Karen, we already have Karen, Ki Gof Sharish. E Regel Ksiv, we have a Shilach Hasabira. Itzrich. Salke daitchamina idi veidi. Whether it's for shilach or it's ubir, aregel. We have two psukim referring to regel, and each one is different. One extends the other and clarifies the scope of the chiyuv nezikin in regel. Ha di azil memela, ha di shalach shluchei. It means if we only had the pasuk v'shilach for regel, and we didn't have the additional pasuk of ubir, we would have limited the chiyuv compensation in the case of regel to v'shilach. Shilach means the bailam actually guided the animal, sent them and the animal towards some other sada, into someone else's field. But if it was azla d'memela, if the bailam were not actively involved here in guiding and sending out this animal, the animal on its own volition made a decision to go into Yenem's field, I might not be chayav for such a thing. Kamash Malon, the Torah says, no, you have an active obligation to safeguard the animal and pen it in such a way that you guarantee that it won't enter into someone else's field. Nuvahashta di oke ashen. Now that you tell me the word of beer, this is the maskana, and it's based on that pasuk of Kasha Yavara Golad Tumo, refers to Shane, is regal di ozum and melu minolan. I no longer have a second pasuk to teach me that regal is chayev, even in the case of ozla memela. And the Gemara answers, dumya d'shein. We have shein and regal in the same parsha. We're going to, by analogy, we'll equate the two. And ma shein loshna shilcha, shalcha shluche loshna di ozil memela, is afrega loshna shalcha shluchi loshna azla memela. Now, how do we know that in the case of Shane, it makes no difference whether it was shalcha shluche or not? The answer is because it doesn't say v'shilach with regard to Shane. Again, the only problem here is you can ask, why did the Torah use the word v'shilach for regel, which led us to the misimpression, the havamina, that regel is only v'shilach. I mean, the Torah should have told me the bigger chiddush, that even in Ozla Memela, the animal went on its own volition. Nevertheless, you chayev for regel, and you pay the damages. And the Gemara asks, v'lichtov rachmona v'shilach v'lo boy ubir, t'mashma gam regel, u'mashma gam shein. What does it mean? The Gemara says, why didn't the Torah just tell us v'shilach? We've seen that the word v'shilach could refer to both Shane and Regel, and therefore both Shane and Regel as two avos could have been derived from that one pasuk. The Torah didn't have to spell out Shane by saying ubir when Shane could be included on the v'shilach. If the animal goes out, then it'll damage when it stomps through its Regel, it'll damage when it eats through its Shane. Mashma Regel d'chsiv mishalchei Regel hashor v'chamor. And now the Gemara proves from an additional pasuk that v'shilach could very well refer to Shein, u'mashma Shein d'chsiv v'shein behemos ashalech bom. In Parshas Hazinu, the pasuk reads, "Mazei ra'ov v'lochami reshef ketev merivi v'shein behemos ashalech bom im chamas sochei ofar." And it means that the animal will bite and it will destroy its enemy, its victim. And the animal is biting with the Ashalech Bom Pasuk. And if that be the case, the Ashalech Bom could refer to Shein. So when it says here Vashilach, it could be referred to Shein. But v'shilach could also refer to regel, as we saw before. So why not just use the word v'shilach? So Gemara says, "Ilav kro yiseref." Not for the pasuk ubir, hava mina. I would say the following: Oha, oha. We have to make a choice, and we have to analyze this. Does the word v'shilach refer to regel? Oh, regel. And maybe there's a logic to say that regel should be machayev in tashlum in ezikah that zeko matzu is such a common, natural repercussion of the animal walking. Or on the contrary, maybe we should say that there's more of a reason to force the owner of the animal to pay compensation for shein. Oh, shein di yesh hanol lezeko, because you know the animal is drawn to eat for that pleasure or any other benefits it gets, like we spoke before about tinuf haperos. So the Gemara says now, michti shkulim heim. You have a logic that draws you to assume that you should be chai for regel. You have an equally powerful logic that would draw you to the conclusion that you're chai for shein. Is therefore viavo shneim. Why not derive both of them from one pasuk? The heminayu sapkos mafkes. You cannot derive one of the two because there's an equal reason to apply the other, and the pasuk itself in its language could apply to others, to both of them. So we'll come therefore to the conclusion that you chai for both. Even though you might argue, well, suffek momen lekula, in each case the Baal HaShar will claim, well, you go prove that the Torah is referring to regel, or you go prove that the Torah, and he'll say to the plaintiff, I don't want to pay you. The defendant will be muchzak. But the answer, I think, is what we discussed in yesterday's Shia, in the name of the Rajba, that Tashlumin Ezekin is fundamentally a Suffolk Isur, not a Suffolk Mammon. And we had a long discussion about that yesterday. Alternatively, you may say that if the Torah deliberately used a deliberate term, it didn't mean it should be nothing. It would end up with a suffix where you pay nothing in either case. But the very fact that the Torah used this suffix, it must mean that the Torah wanted you to mechayev in both cases, because they both are incorporated in the words in the word v'shilach. So the Gemara answers, itzrich, I need two psukim. Salke dait chamina hani mili. When you chai for shein v'regel hechi de shalach shluchi. Right, after all, if it only says v'shilach, we have no other case to compare it to, like we did before to shein, which is azla memela. Aval azla memela lo. Is kamash malon. Therefore, we need the word ubir that sets up shein, and we said that by shein, generally speaking, even though he doesn't send the animal out, the animal has a gravitational pull to graze and eat as much as he can. That's hanol ezeko, and therefore yechayev. So that's only once we have the word ubir and we establish shein. But had we only had the word v'shilach, we'd be inclined to think that you're only chayv in the case of shalach shluchi, where you actually sent the animal away into someone else's field. And now the chiddush is that even in Oslo Mamelia chayv. Now we get back to Rav Papa. We're looking for a tolda, and we're trying to know whether the tolda has the equal status as the av. Tolda the shein maihi. What are the toldas of shein? Nischacha bakosalana osa. Imagine if an animal has fleas on its back and it has to scratch, so it rubs itself up against the wall, and sure enough, it knocked down the wall. Tin for peres lanasa. As we discussed earlier, the animal is hot or feels itchy or whatever it might be. This is classical in the cases of susim v'chamorim. And as Rashi says, and therefore it rolls itself into the ground, and inevitably, it dirties, it filths causes filth to the peros. And now the Gemara says, you know what? These toldos fit the exact bill, and they have all the sibos hamachayev of the av. Maishno shein, what is the unique characteristic that defines shein? Sheish hanola zeko. That the animal is motivated and drawn by its desire for pleasure. And like all of the Avos Nezikin, it's your mamon in the sense that you have to watch it, you have to guard it, and protect others from it. Is hani nami yeshanol ezekon among shmirah lecha? What difference make where the animal is eating, or the animal is scratching, or the animal is wallowing itself in the peros, whatever it might be? At the end of the day, you should have been guarding the animal. The animal is motivated by a hanah, and you should have protected it. Ella, and therefore the conclusion is that Tolda Deshain Kishain. So now we have excluded two out of the four possibilities. Again, that depends on the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, but let's say according to Rav, according to Shmuel, is two out of four possibilities. That in both the cases of Keren and its Toldos, and the case of Shein and its Toldos, Toldos saying Kayotzbe, V'chi Kamar of Papa, perhaps Rav Papa, when he said Toldosem Lav Kayotzbe, not Toldo the Regel. Let's take a look at Regel. Toldo the Regel, Mayi, Hezika Begufa Derech Ilucha, Bisa'ara Derech Ilucha, Bisholif Shale, Befrumvia Shebefia, Bezog Shebetzavora. All of these are cases of toldos of regel. It means the animal is walking and it damages. How did it damage? So instead of damaging by stomping on the fruits or whatever it is on the ground, the animal moved with its body in such a way as it was walking that it knocks things over. You know, went through a tight area. There were flower pots sitting there on the ledge on the shelf, and it knocked them over. And now there's a whole list of cases where the animal inadvertently, so to speak, as it was walking, caused damage with other parts, either with the hair, it grabbed onto a very fragile kli, and it dragged it until it finally broke, or shalif, shalea, is the baggage, you know, there are bags on the side that protrude, and they knocked into something, or from your fishfia is the muzzle on the animal that comes to cover the animal, and the zog shebet savor is the yoke, you know, that flat steel piece of metal that comes shutting out on the top of the animal, and that stretches in two directions and knocks things over. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Once again, the toldos have the same identical characteristics of the av and the same mechayvim. There's no reason why the tashlumin ezikin for the told of regel should be any different than the av of the regel. Maishno regel, what defines the quality of the nature of regel? Der zeko motzu. It's just common. The animal moves. As it's going, as it's moving forward, it's mazik. Umamon chushmir asolech, like in all nezikin, is haninami. These cases also, where it's mazik with different parts of its body or things that protrude from its body, they're on top of its body, is nami as zekam motzli. It's very common. Umamon chushmir asolech. Ella told of the regel keregel. There's no question about it. There's no difference between the told of the regel and the av of regel. Oh, so we're back to this drawing board. V'chikam Rav Papa, Atolda de Bar. Maybe the Tolda of Bar is not Kayotzim, and it has a whole different din. Tolda de Bar, my ninu. What is the case of a Tolda Bar? Elema, if you'll tell me. By the way, the Gemara's question, Elema, seems to imply that there is a logical possibility that there are no Toldas of Bar. We'll see if that pans out. Elam, if you'll tell me, the av is asura, meaning if you dug it 10 tefachim, let's assume a tefach is a half a foot. So asura tefachim would be 5 feet. You know, there's a little bit of depth here. And if an animal falls in, again, a lot depends upon how it fell in and how large the animal is. Does it have extra padding? But if it's a relatively smaller animal and it falls into Asar Tfachim, is that's called a bar that's Yeshbo Kidei Lahamis. That defines the bar as having the potential to kill, in this case, kill an animal. Vitolda Tisha. If it's lacking that 10th tefach, it's 9 tefachim deep, that's called in the Lashon Chachamim, Ein Bo Kidei Lahamis. Again, you can certainly damage someone, you know, an animal can break its leg if it falls into this pit that's 4.95 feet deep, but But the Chacham established that if it's less than 5 feet or whatever it is, in actuality, Asar Tfachim, then you're not chayiv for the mis of the shor that fell in there. When do I have to pay for your dead animal that fell into my bar? That's only if this dead animal was killed by the bar. How do I know it was killed by the bar? Because the bar, in its depth of Asar Tfachim, has the propensity, the potential to kill your animal. But that's only a bar asara. A bar tisha is a tolda. And the nafkamina is that for the tolda you'll pay damages, but you won't pay if the animal died. Lo. The Gemara doesn't like this, even though it seems like a very good logical possibility. Tisha ksivi b'tora. Velo asara. Velo asara ksivi. It doesn't say in the Torah asara that would make a bar asara tfachim into an av. And then push aside a tolda, push aside tisha tfachim as a tolda. No, the Torah says tisha tfachim. So what does it mean that the Torah says tisha tfachim? The Torah just says ki yichra ish bar. And perhaps what the Gemara is saying over here, we'll see if this pans out, is that maybe the Torah is talking about a case of somebody else's shor got injured in your bar. Doesn't say anything about Misa, and therefore we have to assume ipso facto that the bar in the Torah is 9 Tvachim. Holokash, no. That's not an argument. I can still insist that bar Tisha Tvachim is a Tolda, and the bar that's written in the Torah is bar Asara Dafka. Why? Because Vamesia lo amrachmana. And if the Pasuk says that the animal died in this bar, the issue is who has to deal with the carcass of the animal, then we're talking about a case of a bar amemis. And that's what the Gemara clarifies. That kimul rabbanan asara avdon misa, tisha, nizikin avdi, misa lo avdi. The rabbanan were absolutely convinced that it's only a bar asara that has the propensity, the capacity to kill an animal, but not a bar that's less deep, that's more shallow, if you will, and it's got only tisha tvachim, is then nizikin avdi, misa, lo avde. And therefore, the Torah itself is addressing the case of a bar asar tfachim, and that becomes now the av of bar, and a bar tisha, if a shor or chamor fall in there and they get damaged, they break a leg, is that's not explicit in the Torah, and that becomes a tolda. The Gemara doesn't like this. Sof, ze av le misa, ve av le nizakin. In other words, the Torah is telling you that in the case that the animal died, vamesia lo. That's the halacha, vamesia lo. It's halacha. But it doesn't mean to say that this exhausts the whole scenario of bar in the Torah. Bar is talking about a case of nezikin. And therefore, the Torah has both categories of bar tisha for nezikin, which is an av, it's written in the Torah, and at the same time, bar Asarat Fakim Lemis. And that's exactly what's going on in this parsha. And therefore, both Bar Tisha and both Bar Asara are avos. And at this point, I would submit to you that the Gemara seems to assume that there is no such thing as a tolda of Bar. And therefore, it can't be that Rav Pop is talking about the Lav Kayotzeben in terms of bar. We don't even have a tolden bar. We had one candidate for a tolda, but now we find out that it's an av. Ella, but rather Rav Pop is referring to what? To a different case. And this perhaps could also come under bar. And it's not written in the Torah, therefore it could be a tolda. We've excluded the possibility that a bar tisha is a tolda. That is written in the Torah. But what about the case of avno sakino maso shenicha b'shusha rab? If a person places a very sharp or dangerous object, or maybe a big bag, and he plops it down in Rishusha Rab, Viziku, and now people come by, they trip over the object, they get cut by the knife, whatever it is, or they trip over the stone and who knows what happens to them. Or an animal trips over, I should say. So that could be a tolda. So first the Gemara wants to know exactly what's the case. This Evan, or this Sakin, or Masa, to who does it belong to? Is it yours? If it's yours, I'm not sure it's going to qualify as a bar. Let's see. Hechi Dami. Idi Afkarinu. Ah. If he made it Hefker, that's the classical case of bar. Because again, we're talking about a bar b'shus harabim. That's hefker. You know, you don't own the bar if you dug it in a public highway or thoroughfare. And the Gemara says that's bein l'rab, bein l'shmuel. There's no machlokas that that's bar. Because when the Torah says, ki yichre ish bar, a person digs or creates a bar b'shus harabim, then clearly the bar is hefker. And yet the Torah says, yechayev for bar. So you cannot say that Toldo Sam Kayotzevan is a case where he was mafkir, he gave up ownership over the Evan Saken Umasa, because that would be Bar Mamish. Lesman the Polig. That would be the Av of Bar, not the Toldo. Look in the Pnei Yoshua here, he has a different take on this Gemara, not the way we said it, that there is no Toldo of Bar. There is, in fact, a told of bar, and that told is avno sakinu maso, because in these cases it doesn't have the same structure as a bar. You're not talking about some subterranean pit that you fell into. And the issue here is whether told the same kayotza behen. What's missing here in this Gemara is that normally the Gemara proves that told the same kayotza by first analyzing the nature of the av. And telling you what bar is, now you tell me why the case of Avnus Akinim Aso, as it told, is identical to, in terms of the Machayev, to the Av. The Gemara didn't bother doing that. But in any event, this is his interpretation. Told the same Lav Kayotzman could not apply to the Toldus of Bar of Avnus Akinim Aso. And there's no logical reason why the din of this Toldus should be any different than the din of the Av. And therefore, we haven't solved the riddle of Rav Papa. What's Rav Papa talking about? Lav Kayotzme. And now we're turning to Daf Gimel Amid Beis. Ve'idelo afkerinu. Let's assume he did not make it hefker. Now, if you retain ownership on a bar, which is not the case of the Torah of Ki Yichrish Bar B'Shus Harabim. So then we have machlokes here between Shmuel and Rav. Ilish Shmuel di Omar Kulam mi Boro Lamadnu. It means that even if you retain ownership on the bar, it still remains bar. As long as it's a takola, it's something that somebody would trip on, then it's called bar. Even if it's your object. So here also, in the case of Avno Sakinu Maso Delo Afkerinu, it would be bar and told the same Kayotzman according to Shmuel. But Ila Rav the Omar Kulon Mishoro Lamanu Hainu Shor. This case of Avno Sakinu Maso according to Rav would not help us for told the same Lav Kayotzeben, because although we're not talking about a told of bar, Rav holds that bar by definition has to be hefker. It can't be owned by someone. The whole nature of bar and the essence of bar according to Rav is that it's ownerless. Here it would come under a different masik called shor. Now Tosus Divar Maslami Shoro tries to explain what does that mean, shor. Now you're telling me that Avno Sakinu Maso Sheinicha Mishus Harabim is a told of shor. What does that mean, a told of shor? And he says the following: it cannot be Shein and Regel, because Shein and Regel are potter Mishus Harabim, and the only one of the three mazikin that fall under Keren, I'm sorry, on the shore, that could be chayev even in Rishus Harabim, is Karen and only Karen. Because again, Shein V'Regel up to Rishus Harabim. So that Avno Sakino Maso, and our case is that he left them in Rishus Harabim, that must be, by definition, Keren and not Shein V'Regel, because otherwise how can you engender a Chiyuv to pay Tashlumin for Shein V'Regel in Rishus HaRab? Shein V'Regel, as we'll see, are Peturim Rishus HaRab. But the only question that we have here is, this is very odd. Avno Sakinu Masot to be derived from Shor? I mean, the whole essence of Shor is that it's a Baal Chai. And therefore, you're responsible for the actions of your Baal Chai. But Bar is not a Baal Chai. So why should Bar be derived from Shor? You know, it's a very unique place within the constellation of Mazikin for live animals. The Torah itself addresses live animals. Take care of your live animal. It's a Baal Chayim. And it has a mind of its own and a will of its own. It has sometimes intention to be mazik, like it's in the case of Keren. So how can you use Keren as the melamed to teach you bar? I mean, in this case, avno sakina maso sheinicham berosh gago. I'm sorry, sheinicham versus arav. So in order to answer this question, Tosfos quotes the Rashbam, who interprets that the chiyuv here is derived not from Shor to Avna Sakina Masor Vishas Rama, but from Shor and Bar. If you combine the two, then the Tzadah Shov is going to be, because in the case of Bar, we're not dealing with the Baal Chayim, and yet you're chayiv. Again, bar itself might not be enough, because we're going quite to Rav that bar has to be hefker. But then shor yochiach, because shor is not hefker, and if avno sakinu maso, if he didn't make it hefker, is very similar to shor. The only difference is it's not bal chai, and that we're going to plug in the limud from bar. The Gemara asks the following: Maishna bar. Now let's get into the definition of bar. Shetchilas asiyos l'nezek u'mamon chol shmiros cho alecha haninam itchilas asiyos l'nezek mamon cho u'shmirosan alecha. So what does this mean? The defining feature of bar is that it is by its very nature a mazik. You know, you dig something in Rishus HaRabim, it's a pit, it's omed lahazik. Here too, although again, when you made the bundle or the when you took the stone, in and of itself it wasn't a mazik, but when you placed it in Rishus HaRabim, you are placing it there and creating a bar. You're creating I call it a toldav bar, but nevertheless a bar in the sense that it is tchilas asiyosan l'nesek. And therefore, Ella, we should conclude that toldah, there's no difference in the av and the toldah, because the toldah has all the qualities of the av. It's tchilas asiyosan l'nesek. Now, according to Rav, bar is hefker, shor is your mamon. And shor is chayev when he's mazik, because it's your mamon that went in and was mazik. And anything that's your mamon and goes ahead in mazik should have the same shor. And therefore, according to Rav, it's very logical that the Gemara wanted to establish that if he wasn't mafkir his evan, sakin, and masa that he put in the Rishus HaRabim, that he be chayv mishum shor kulam mishoro lamadnu. Now wait a second, according to Shmuel on the end, shor really essentially means balei chayim that goes out and is mazik by itself. Bar, on the other hand, or Evan Sakenu Masa Shinicham Birshus Arabim, the Chiyuv can only be Mishum Bar, because according to Shmuel, Shor by definition is Bali Chayim. Now, when the Gemara assumes here that it's Mamoncha, that's a pretty strange idea. Because keep in mind that if you're going with Shmuel's approach, it's not fair to define Bar as Mamoncha. That's what Tosus raises here, Dibra Maschel Mamoncha, that this phrase Mamoncha is Lav Dafka, because Bar B'Shezaravim is not Mamono. That's true according to everyone. And Avno Sakina Maso, if he wasn't Mafkia, that's not called your Mamono. The Rashba has a Gevaldige Chiddush here, that a Bar is not called Mamoncha, but the Gemara wants to suggest here a ribui here, that if you'll say that since the Torah made the bar into yours, that's the Shnei Dvarim Shenim Shekusiv Shaladam, is then it becomes like your mama. And therefore so too, Avnu Sakina Maso, to the extent to which you created a mazik, that's also considered Bershuska, that's also considered Mamoncha, and Yechayev Fetashluvei Nezikin. So let's just summarize the final conclusion of the Gemara. The Tolda of Bar is Avno Sakino Maso, certainly according to both Rav and Shmuel, if he was Mafkir. And if he wasn't Mafkir, clearly according to Shmuel, it's a Bar. It's a Tolda of Bar. According to Rav, it somehow is a Tolda of maybe Shor and Bar, the way the Rashbam had it, a combination of the two. But in any event, whatever it is, it's going to be Kayotza Behen. So Ella Vechikama Rapapa told the same Lav Kayotzva, and I told her the Mave. Oh, so what's Mave? So we have Machlokas here between Rav and Shmuel. My Niyu, Eli Shmuel, the Omer Mave, Zoshen. Shmuel, after all, identifies Shar in our Mishnah as Keren, as Regel. And therefore, according to Shmuel, we have Mave, which is Shein. Shein is not included on the Shor, according to Shmuel. So therefore, so we're talking about Mave Zoshein, then Mave certainly told us Shein Kayotza Behen. She told her the Shein Ki Shein. We've already established earlier, Kimna, that the told of Shein has the same status as Shein. The Ila Rav, the Omer Mavis Ha'odom, it comes a little bit more intriguing, however, according to Rav, because what's the Av and the told of Mav, according to Rav? Rav identifies Mav as Odom Amazik. Is my Ovus and my told us Isbe? The Chitema Av. Niyar, v'toldo yoshein. You might say that the Torah is talking about a case of a man who was mazik when he was awake. But let's say he rolled over in his sleep and he damages something when he's asleep. Is that already a toldo of atnan? Adam u'liolam bein er bein yoshein. He's always chayef in Ezekiel, whether he's awake or whether he's sleeping. There's always an element of negligence, and therefore he's going to be chayef. So therefore, even if going to sleep is not a tolden, is not an av, but rather a tolden, nevertheless it has the same din as the av. Ella, what would be a better candidate for toldoseim lav kayotze behen? In terms of Adam Amazik, Ella akicho vineo. If a person damages something with the spit in his mouth, or the snot in his nose, the lechos of the chotem, in such a case, that damage is considered adam amazik, but it's only a told of adam amazik. So the Gemara says, heichi domi, what's the case? E bahadi di ozli kamazki, if as it goes down, the spit damages something, the saliva hits something, is kocho havi, that's exactly the case of kocho adam. Like a man who picks up a stick and he smacks something and smashes and breaks something. And therefore there's no question that Taldoseim Kayotze Behen. That's how the Rif interprets this. But E, Basar Denayich, if you're going to tell me that this spit fell on the ground and then somebody tripped over it or whatever, he damaged his clothing with it, is Bein L'Ravu Bein L'Shmuel Hainu Bar, because here's a case of Kicho Vidio, that he wasn't Mafkir. I'm sorry, that was Hefker. because a person, the assumption is, doesn't want to own kicho v'neo. I mean, was he going to sell it on the market? If he's taking maybe a medical checkup, it might be important to get it into a... But here, he's certainly mafkir it. So according to everybody, Rav and Shmuel, it's bar. Meaning, even though Rav argues that sometimes bar is not bar, but that's only because it has bilus. He owns it. But in the case of a bar that he doesn't own, even Rav agrees that that's bar. So therefore, if you want to tell me that kicho v'neo is a tolda, then it's got to be bosa d'naichi, a tolda of bar. And we've already established earlier that a tolda of bar is a bar. Therefore, the final maskana is, after all these permutations and possibilities, is el tolda mavik mavik. So we have to come up with another idea. V'chikomar Rav Papa tolda d'yesh. That seems to be the only final, you know, possibility or candidate. It told the Ishmael Ninu Ile Ma'avno Sakinu Maso Shinicham Rosh Kago Venofle Ruch Mitsuya. Not the case that we had before, where Avno Sakinu Maso is a bar, but rather Avno Sakinu Maso are all under the category of Eish. And why is that so? Because Nofle Baruch Mitsuya, the wind carries them down the Iziku and they damage. Is therefore we have a case of a told of Eish in Avnu Sakinu Masoshi Nicha Barosh Kago. The Gemara says, Hechi Domi, how did this Hezek come about? Iba Hadi Deka Azlika Mazki. If the Hezek happens as they're going down, they're falling down from the roof, Hainu Eish, this is Eish. The wind blows the fire. Umamon choshmirasan alecha haninami koach acher muruben umamon choshmirasan alecha. And therefore, you cannot apply the principle of Toldos Seim Lav Kayotzeben to the case where he put an evet on the top of the roof and the wind blew it down. Because in such a case, it's mamish eish. It has all the qualities of eish. So call it a tolda, but it doesn't make sense to say lav kayotze behen. The same machayvim here should apply. Ela, but rather tolda di eish ke eish. B'chikoma Rav Papa, tolda the regal. Wait a minute. We just had a whole sugya before that tolda the regal's ke regal. Regal says Gemara, kimna. She told the regel kiregel. Oh, and for the Gemara, chatzi nezik tsroros. That's when the animal walks and it kicks out pebbles as it walks, and those pebbles, let's say, hit up on a glass bowl and they break it, they shatter it. That's already called tsroros. It's not that the animal itself, as it was walking, it stomped on vegetables, but rather the animal, as it was walking, kicked out pebbles. That's called tsroros. Now we have halacha l'moshe misinai, the halacha gemirulei, that tells me that in the case of tsroros, yechayev v'chatzi nezek. Ah, so here we have a case of toldos seim lav kayotze behen, because the av is chayev nezek sholem, and the told is only chayev chatzi nezek. In fact, the Gemara, my Karile tolda de regel. Why is this called the tolda of regel? So Tosis learns that what underlies this question of the Gemara, my Karile tolda de regel, even though after all, what else should it be? It is a tolda of regel. It's similar to regel. Regel means the animal's walking, and inadvertently, you know, it's mazik. Here also, the animal's walking, kicking out pebbles. Says Tosis, no. What the Gemara is bothered by is, why don't you set up tsroros as a category unto itself, since it has such unique dinim that the Torah says that you only pay half the damages. That should be set up as a tolda, as a call it an, I guess, I don't know if you'd call it an avra tolda, I guess it's a tolda, but it's not to be categorized under the other avos. The premise that underlies Gemara's question is that to call something a tolda, it's not enough that its relationship to the av is betchunos, meaning in the way it looks and the way it operates and how the hezek came about, but rather it's also got to be similar to the av in dinim. That's the way that the Gemara seems to be working here, but obviously I'm not happy with that, because the whole assumption that there are others and told us in the Zikin means, and Rav Papa says, Lav Kayotzben, that the told us might indeed have different dinim. But that doesn't mean it's not a tolda of one of the four others. But Tos says, let it be called a Shem Bifnei Atzmo, a new category. So the Gemara answers, L'shalim in Aliyah. There is a certain distinct similarity between Tsroros and Regel, Tsroros as a Tolda and Regel as an Av, in terms of the Dinim, in terms of the Tashlumin. Because if, let's say, you wanted to subsume this Tsroros and accuse the animal of Keren, of being deliberate about it, which is hard to assume, then you're going to come to the conclusion that on the first three occasions, when the animal is, right, we're talking about an animal that's deliberate, kavanos lazik, he should pay min migufo, right? Because a short tam, which is a case of keren, pays migufo. But here, the halacha Moshe Sinai tells me that you pay min aliyah. So it's not like the case of Karen, and therefore it's got to be a tolda of Regel. Shane, for example, is not even a Havamina, not even a candidate, because Shane is La'anah, Tsoros is not La'anah. So it's either Regel because it's walking, or call it Karen because it's Kavanos La'hazik. But it cannot be possibly be Karen, because Karen pays min ha-migufo in the first three occasions, and there is no such parallel locha in Tsoros. Tsoros pays min aliyah from the get-go. So if it's not Shane and it's not Karen, then it's a told of Rega. And the difference between the Av and the Tolda is that the Av engenders a chiv to pay Nezek Sholem, whereas the Tolda is paying Chatzi Nezek. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, homie, boy, Rav Papa. Rav Papa had a whole suffix about this. The boy, Rav Achatzi Nezik Tsoros, Migufo, Mishalim, O Min, Ha'aliyah, Mishalim. What are the two tzadim in Rav's suffix? So this we'll see, based on the Gemara later on Daf Yud Ches, that in the case of Chatzi Nezik, let's say the classical case of Chatzi Nezek is a short time, the first three negichas, you pay migufo. We don't find Chatzi Nezek that pays min aliyah, and yet the din of Tsoros is identical to the din of short time, and you pay Chatzi Nezek. And Chatzi Nezek in Shartam only pays migufo, not min aliyah, so therefore the same din of migufo should apply here in the case of Tsoros. What's the other side? The other side is to say that, wait a second, Chatzi Nezek in the case of Shartam is called a Knas. Chatzi Nezek in the case of Tsoros is Mamon, it's not Knas. Again, these are all concepts that we'll have to study in great depth. But be that as it may, if we subsume and define Tsroros as a Chiv Mamon and not a Knas, we never found that a Chiv Mamon pays Migufo, it only pays Min Aliyah. So on the one hand, it's similar to Shartam, and you pay Chatzi Nezek, and therefore Chatzi Nezek is always going to be Migufo. On the other hand, you're paying a Petoris Mamon and not Knas, and Mamon is always paid Min Aliyah. So the Gemara answers, L'Rav mi boile, L'Rav Papa pshita le. Rav Papa understood, as a Dover Pashut, that Chatzi Nezek Tsoros pays min aliyah. As we said before, it's a Chiv Momen, and it pays min aliyah. And that really makes it Lav Kayotzvahem. And it makes it, in a sense, similar to the case of Regel. In Regel, there's no concept of Knas. There's no concept of Migufo Mishalim. And so too in Chatzi Nezek Tzroros, according to Rav Papa, it's called a Tolda of Regel. Just like in Regel, you pay him an Aliyah. It's a Chiv Momon. It's not Knas. You don't pay it Migufo. And therefore, it's a Tolda of Regel, according to Rav Papa, who assumes as a Dover Pasha that you pay Min Haliyah. Now the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah, Hamave Vahever. My Mave. What does the word Mave mean? So again, just to summarize the maskana of the last sugya, which is a very long and tedious sugya, is that Rav Popa told the same, Lav Kayotzeven is referring to Chatzi Nezek Tzroros, which is a Hilchsa Gemirale, and is a tolda of Regel. But Regel pays Nezek Sholim, that's the Av. In the case of the tolda Tzroros, you only pay Chatzi Nezek. That's called Lav Kayotzeven. That was Rav Popa. Now, my Mave. So the Gemara says, we have Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav Omar Mave Ze Odom. And Rav is going to try to prove that, as we'll soon see. Shmuel Omar Mave Ze Shein Hashein. Rav Omar Mave Ze Odom. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Omar Shomer. Shomer is a reference to Almighty God. He's the ultimate protector. Asa Boker. Also, it means it came, the daylight came, and it's daybreak came. Vegam Laila, and also night. This is all part of the Nevuah of Yeshaya about what's going to happen down the line. In other words, Hashem is promising that Lasid Lavo, that's Omar Shomer, that's the promise of Hashem, the period of Geula will be brought about for Tzaddikim, and that's called Boker, that's Geula, for Gam, and not only that, Laila, and what's Laila? It means Choshech, the R, the Boker of Geula is for the Tzaddikim, the Choshech of punishment, that is for the Rishayim, but this Boker, this Geula, is contingent. It's contingent upon what? Im Tevayun Bayu. And this means if you'll ask for mechilin, for tshuva, for your sins, then the geula will come about. But anyway, we see clearly that the word bayu is a reference to man. Man is the one who's petitioning God. And that's the basis of Rav to conclude that Mava is Adam. Remind me that I failed to mention Akashi of Tosfos. Dibra Maskel of Fotra on the previous sugi, we mentioned that according to Rava, Tzroros is a tolda of Regel. That Rava had a suffix whether or not Tzroros you pay min aliyah umigufo. It seems that Rava never had any suffix that Yechayev for Tzroros in Rishu Sarabim, which is really interesting. Now, let's say it the other way around. What did I just say? Yechayev b'shesram. No. Tzroros is like Regel that you're potter b'shesarab. And that was a milsa the pshita for Rava. And yet, with regard to Tashlumin, as a told of Regel, you pay min aliyah, that wasn't so posha to Rava. In any event, getting back to the pasuk here in Yeshaya Novi, the pasuk itself indicates that the word Mave is Adam, and Bayu means man. Man is the one who's asking and begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu for atonement for his sins, for kapara on his avonos. Fine. So Bayu refers to Rav, to a man, says Rav, and that's the Mavakish. Shmuel Omer, Mav is Hashem, the Tzivi has a poskin of Vadya, Eich Nichpesu Esav Nivu Matzpunov. And the Gemara says, my Mashma, what did Shmuel see in this posuk? And the Gemara now invokes the Mitargame, the Turgamon, the Tirgum, I should say, of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was considered the outstanding Mitargamon. Some say it was because he was blind and he didn't want to read the Psukim because of the principle of Dvarim Sheba Bechsaviya Tarashoy Lomer and Balpeh. In any event, he wrote this, authored this Targum. And he translates this pasuk referring to Esav as Echdin Islabesh. Esav is Galion Matmori. In other words, the Oivim of Esav will seek him out in all different places of Matmoroi where he hides, and they are going to reveal him and all his possessions, which they will confiscate. But in any event, we see that the word Nivu is translated as Niglu, right? Because the enemies will reveal everything that Esav is hiding. And that's the Lashon Gilui. And Shane, if you remember before, we described Shane as something that sometimes is covered and then it's uncovered. When he smiles, you see his teeth. The Gemara is not happy neither with Rav nor with Shmuel. Rav, who says that Mav is Adam, my time alone, Shmuel, what was the problem, the loophole in Shmuel's reasoning? Amalecha miktani nivet. Right, the pasuk itself that Shmuel bases himself on says nivu, then man should be called nivet. Then I would refer to Shen, which means that nivet is describing that very noun of something that's golui, that reveals itself. That would be niveh, meaning nigle. But the Mishnah says mave, implying, says Rav, a kind of an active pu'ula of being megala. So that's not really, you know, that's not really fair to take the pasuk of nivu and therefore translate mave as shame. Ushmuel, my time alone, Rav, Shmuel found a hole in Rav's reasoning as well. Because if Rav is right that Mav is Adam, Omalecha, I would say to you, says Shmuel, Mikatani, Boeh. Boeh would mean a Mavakesh. And if you're telling me that Boeh is, that this pasuk teaches you that Mav is Adam, it should have said Boeh. Boeh would be more appropriate. Michti at the Gemara says at the end, Kroy lo kemar daiki, velo kemar daiki. You know, whether you go this way or that way, and you take Rav or Shmuel, neither one of them are really appropriate in Digduk for the word Mav in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says that Rav, my time alomar kishmuel, because, in fact, you know, Rav finds a weakness in Shmuel, but you have to admit that, Rav, your pasuk is also weak in terms of understanding the word mave. So the Gemara answers for Rav that there's another reason why Rav could not accept that mave could be possibly shame, because Rav Sheet is a ton of shar, v'chol midas shar. He understood that the word shar in our Mishnah is referring to all three mazikin of the animal of shar, meaning keren, shein, and regel. Therefore, mave, by definition, could not be shar, could not be shein, because shein, like keren and regel, is included under shar. Ushmuel nami. So Shmuel, how's he going to interpret that mave is shein? Hatani le shar. Why not say, assume, Shmuel, that shar includes shein, so there's no need for mave to again repeat shein. Omer Rav Yehuda, he tries to interpret Shmuel, tana shar le karno, umave le shino. The word shar in our Mishnah is referring to keren, right? Shar shenogach, with a kavon lazik. But Mave, therefore, has to refer to Shane, because otherwise, where's Shane here? So the pasuk he invoked here was to try to establish a relationship between Mave and Shane. The Gemara later on is going to ask a question why the Mishnah didn't mention anything about Regel here. You know, according to Rav, Regel is included under Shar, but according to Shmuel, the Mishnah only has Shar, which is referring to Karen, and it's got now Mava, which is referring to Shane. Where did Regel get lost, according to Shmuel? The Rashba asks a different question. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda explain Shmuel's opinion that Shar is Kolel, Karen, and Regel, but without Shane? And therefore we need Mava for Shane. I mean, that was the Rashba's problem. In any event, the Gemara says now that according to Shmuel, the word Shar is referring to Karen. Mava is referring to Shane. If that be the case, how do we understand the next part of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Lo Areya Shar Karea Mava, Lo Areya Mava Karea Shar. In other words, there's no equation here between the tchunos of the definition, the nature, the character, the propensity of a Shar and a Mava. And therefore, if we're going to tell us, premise of the Mishnah is if the Torah would tell us one of these two Nezikin and not the other, we wouldn't be able to arrive to the other, but they're both a Mazikin of Shar. Hachi Kamer, says Rav Yehuda. This is what the Mishnah means. Lo roya keren sheina no lezeko keroya shein sheyesh hano lehezeko. There is a Machayev here that's unique to Karen, right? Shar is Karen according to Shmuel. And that is that ein hano lezeko. So therefore, if the Torah would have said just Karen, we would not be able to derive Shane, because the Machayev of Karen is ein hano lezeko. And that Machayev is completely absent in the case of Shane. And now we go on to Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. For Lo Roya Shane, if the Torah had only told me Shane, we would think it's Shane and not Karen. She'ein kavanos lahazik. The Machayev here of Shane is that there's no kavan lahazik. But in the case of Karen, she'kavanos lahazik, there the Torah would say that you're not Chayev. So again, had the Torah only said Shane, I wouldn't be Machayev in Karen, and vice versa. The Gemara says, V'lav kavachomer, u'ma Shane, she'ein kavanos lahazik Chayev. You know, the Sfar of Ein Kavanos Lahazik is not a Machayev. On the contrary, Kavanos Lahazik is a Machayev. Is Karen Shekavanos Lahazik lo Kolshkein? So the Torah could have told me, Shane, I would have derived Karen with a Kalvachomer. And the Gemara answers, Itzrich. The Torah had to spell out Karen. And you cannot derive Karen from Shane. Salkadak, I mean, we would have thought, if we only had Shane, that Kavanos Lahazik is a Sfar to patter you up. And why is that? Midahavia Eved Vioma. Eved Vioma Lav Afagav the Kavanos Lahazik Afilochi Ptiri. That's a Mishnah later on that the owner of an Eved or an Oma is not Chai for the Nezikin. The Mishnah says on Daf Pei Zayin, Eved Vaisha Pgiyosan Ra'a. Is Hachinami Lo Shna here too? I'm not going to be responsible for the actions of my Shar, since it was Kavanos Lahazik. Like it's like as if we're saying it's the Shar's fault. Just like the Evid, the Yomim made the decision, they're out of my control. If this Shar decides to go wild with belligerency and be Mazik, I'm not responsible for that. That's his Kavanos Lahazik. Don't ask me to be responsible for the Shar's Kavanos Lahazik. Now, Amir Tzashem, in the next shiur, we're going to discuss Rav Ashi, who disproves this whole raya from Eved and Oma. You know what? If you don't mind, let's just try to see if we can push it in another 5 minutes. Omer Rav Ashi, Otu Eved V'Oma Lav Taima Rabba Ispuhu. Your logic to prove the Kavanos Lahazik is a poter in Nezikin and prove it from Eved V'Oma, that's not true at all. Eved v'Yoma is a whole different kind of takana. the reason why the Adon, the master, is part for the Nezikin of Hevet V'Yoma, is because Shemayakni Tenu Rabo, V'yelech V'yad L'Gedisha Shalchavero, V'nitzu Zemachayvis Rabo Me'amon Adinu V'chol Yom. The takon of the Chachamim was necessary, even though, again, in pure theory, if all things were equal, then for sure the master should be chayev for the nezikin of the eved and the shor. But the Chachamim, for another reason, had to make a takon into paterim, because otherwise, look what you're giving into the hands of the eved v'ama. If every time the eved v'ama, you know, wants to take revenge and bite the finger or the hand of the Adon, they could just go out and damage, and they could incur damages to the billions, you know, that the Rav is going to have. That's a great way of taking revenge. Yelech v'yadlik yadishol shal chaver, go burn down Yenim's haystack. V'mechayvis Ravu mea mona v'chol yom. So the Chacham made a special takana to relieve the master of paying damages for his Eved V'Amo. You can't expose him to that vulnerable state. So therefore, we have to come up with another svar to explain why we could not derive keren with a kal v'chomer from Shane. Ella prich hachi lo roi keren shekavanos lahazik kiri hashen shein kavanos lahazik v'lo rei hashen sheish anola zeko kiri keren shein anola zeko. If we only had Keren, we would say that Keren is unique because of Kavanos Lahazik. Shein is Ein Kavanos Lahazik, so you cannot derive Shein from Keren. And the flip side, if we only had Shein, maybe I would say, you know why? The Shein is essentially Yesh Hanola Zeko. And when there's Hanola Zeko, shall we say there's a gravitational pull for the animal to do this damage. And that's something that the Bailim has to definitely always constantly be aware of and safeguard against such an Ezek. But Kiriya Shein, Kiriya Keren, but you want to know about Keren, the Yesh Hanola of Ein Hanola Zeko, there's nothing absolutely pulling the animal. So again, Kavanos Lahazik Eino Chinami is a reason to be high of you in Keren, but to say that you would derive that from Shein, that's not fair. Maybe the Torah put the emphasis on Shein as the Machayev in Hanola Zeko, and that's absent in Keren. Keren again has its own pluses, as we said before. And had the Torah only said Keren, we could not derive Shein. But the flip side of this equation is that if the Torah had written Shein, we could not derive Keren, because the unique nature of Shein of Hanola Zekon would is a propensity, is a description, a definition of the shor that does not apply in the case of Keren, and therefore we would not know that Yechayv Nezikin for Keren, despite its Gavanos laws, because it's lacking, it's missing this element of Hanoel Azek. We'll stop here.